This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio with me, Matt Beadle, with you through until 11 p.m. this evening. We've been on air since 7 p.m. and it is, of course, our Friday night fan show special. And we've just had Leeds United, and it's a delightful segue into the Millwall fan show because, of course, those two teams met last week. Leeds off the back of an excellent victory over West Brom, inflicting a first defeat upon West Brom this season. Millwall, without scoring more than one goal in a championship game this season, Leeds went to the Den and they lost 2-1. It is the Millwall fan show here on Love Sport with the guys from No Lou Talking, Patricia, Ted and George. Guys, it's great to have you in the show and great to be back, of course. I haven't been with you for the past couple of weeks.
No, that's right.
And it was nice to see the Lloyds these guys going out.
Well, I have to say, at the start of this very show, I said that John McKenzie was going to be in the studio with us, but you scared him off as you walked past him in the corridor and he's gone. He's too upset. Can't happen.
It's that comment about Man City, delusions of grandeur.
I've got to be honest, Matt, he walked past without saying a lot, to be quite. We was doing all the talking as he was going out.
Well, we were all smiling and they were all miserable.
They were all miserable. We are going to speak about that Millwall game, but just very quickly, I have to give you a score update from Prague. It is England 1, Czech Republic 1. Harry Kane put England ahead inside the opening 5 minutes, but then Jakub Brabec equalised for the Czech Republic. They are pretty much in the ascendancy. Lucas Mazepus has just had a very decent effort from outside the area, tipped over by Jordan Pickford. Of course, if England win today, they qualify for Euro 2020. 63 minutes on the clock. So,
are you sure about them pronunciations, Matt?
Sorry, I'm trying my best. I mean, come on.
Sounds pretty good.
It's had a go. It's had a go.
But chaps, 2-1 to the Millwall. I think that's 9 wins in 11 over Leeds at the Den. They cannot get a win there. The guys from the previous show were just like, we ain't going to the Den. We cannot
if
win there.
If only the league was between us and Leeds, we'd be flying.
If we could play them every week, mate, it would be marvellous, wouldn't it?
I mean, your Leeds guys are all stats orientated. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell you that they've not won in London against QPR, Brentford, Charlton, Neras. They just don't like coming to London.
It's the atmosphere. It's the big smoke. They can't be doing with it. And what a game it was, guys. I mean, I couldn't believe the result when I saw it. I was away. I was in Barcelona last weekend and keep tabs, of course, on Millwall's results as I do now. I just live down the road. Kind of feel like I'm an adopted Millwall.
Well, you're not quite there yet, Matt. But we'll keep working on it, mate. Keep working.
We're getting closer and closer. But let's run through it. I mean, what a week. I mean, heartbreak and tears. And, you know, it's been very, very difficult. But, hey.
Very strange, to be quite honest. I mean, I was actually in Portugal last week, Matt, and I came back late Thursday night to find out that Neil had gone. Shocked. Not surprised, but shocked. And then you think, this is really one of our biggest games of the season against one of the, what would be classed as the big boys in a division with Leeds. We've always had this little rivalry going on that. So for him to leave just before that was a bit strange. So there was a little bit of a strange atmosphere at Millwall on Saturday. A little bit of sadness, but it's Leeds. We're going to rise to the game. And to be fair, the boys did. There was no doubt about that. You could see it, the passion that was out there. Whether they was playing for Adam Barrett or whether it was for Neil Harris, I don't know. But there was something in our side last Saturday that's been missing for the last couple of weeks. And I thought all round it was a terrific performance. A wonderful second goal. I'm not interested about whether it was a penalty or not. It was, according to the referee. And
oh, you're just going to press past that, are we?
Well, yeah, no, I thought it was.
No, we're talking about
I thought it was a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty, but I was saying to Pat, so I didn't think it was a sending off because I thought the guy was close enough to him, and it's been rescinded through that by all accounts. But it was a penalty. He clipped his knee and he sort of tripped himself up. But, I mean, the fact was the second goal was fantastic. It was a brilliant finish from Tom Bradshaw, and thankfully he's coming back into the side and playing like Tom Bradshaw we bought and we wanted to be playing in a Millwall shirt. So Yeah, at last, the referee had sense down at Millwall. Send him off. Get him off.
Well, you won't be surprised to hear the chats on the Leeds fan show couldn't believe that a penalty was awarded and a red card as well. There is, of course, the double jeopardy rule that means he shouldn't have been sent off. But with regards to the penalty, yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? It's very, very difficult to determine whether it was or whether it wasn't. But it was given, and the way it was taken by Jed Wallace.
Excellent.
Holy crap. Keeper's ever going to save that.
No, it was a lovely penalty. And just talking about it, I think in the heat of the moment, I really thought it was nailed on, you know, in both respects. It's only afterwards when you have, you know, in hindsight, you get to look at it again. Jed put it away marvellous. And it, as Ted was saying, it was a great game of football. We were all a bit down in the dumps. We always get up for Leeds. They seem to hate it when they lose to us, which is
wonderful.
Yeah, we like that even more, you know. So it's a win win for us all the time. So, but it was a great day. And
I was going to say, George, about the penalty. What I always look for, mate, is players' reactions, and there wasn't a lot of thinking from the Leeds players.
They didn't argue, did they?
No, it was only with the sending off that they started arguing, and you know, I think they had a case with the sending off. And I was probably the only Millwall fan in the ground shouting that, "Don't send him off, because we're rubbish against them." Mm. We really are normally, but thankfully, and that on Saturday, we wasn't as bad as we are sometimes against them. They're a good side, Leeds, Matt. Good side.
They are a good side. And Pat, when they got a goal back shortly after the restart, Alioski, of course, was any part of you thinking, oh, crikey?
Well, of course. I mean, our past record isn't that good, is it? But I must admit, I actually missed that one. I was coming back from half-time. They got it so quick. I walked up the stairs and someone said they'd scored.
She was in the posh bit Saturday.
Yeah, I was Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
With the prawns?
Yes, prawn sarnie brigade.
I didn't think you had it in your pack.
Only because we sponsor four players. So
oh, well,
I got my
there
free
you go.
Meal.
That's fair enough. You're entitled to a free meal every so often. But of course, and I guess with that goal going in and Adam Barrett speaking, obviously, and saying that it was such a weird atmosphere, you said that yourself. Could you feel that inside the ground?
As Ted said, it was such a strange atmosphere. And personally, I was sitting there thinking, is Neil watching? Well, not watching, but listening to this. Is he keeping up with the result? Or has he just walked away and not thinking about it? But he did text each individual player after the game, congratulating them. So
I think in hindsight, Matt, it was the perfect game for him to have.
Yeah.
Because, knowing who we was playing and how the fans get up for it and whatever, it did draw the best out of the players. It's probably the best that they've played, I think, this season.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I was worried. I did think to myself, if Leeds go in front, are the heads going to go down because we're managerless and all that sort of stuff? But thankfully, we got ourselves in front and it never looked like anything but a win to me, to be quite honest. It is strange, and I feel for the Leeds boys. No, I don't really. I feel great for the Leeds boys. No, it's you do have sides that there seems to be, you're a bogey side to them. And we are definitely Leeds's without any shadow of doubt. And you'll be pleased to know, Matt, as they were going past, I did sort of whisper in their ear, see you in the playoffs. And they wasn't very impressed with that.
But as you said, they came out Leeds half time and they were gunning for it. They had about 30 minutes where they were possibly the better side, possibly. We held them off, but we didn't sit too far back as we normally do. And for your guy who likes the stats on the Leeds and the Leeds fan, we had 7 shots on target, scored 2. They had 1 shot on target and scored 1. I mean, I think that 30 minutes we just held them so well, they didn't get near the goal.
I think Leeds' problem, if I don't know what the boys said, but to me, they seem to be a bit lacking up front.
Yeah.
There just seem to be a lack of any sort of punch. They play a lot of nice football, which they also got them playing last year, but they just seem to lack that sort of threat in front. Bamford's okay, but I don't think he's the sort of threat that they need. They need someone with a bit more. They could have done with someone like Dwight Gow, you know, that sort of player, I think, but hiya, never mind. They haven't got him. Yep. And we beat him again.
Yeah. In fairness to them, I thought they were very good down to 10 men. It's not often. A team goes to 10 men, they tend to sit back. Leeds didn't do that at all, to their credit.
No, they didn't.
They played good football and they attacked all the time. He was bringing on strikers, you know, he was bringing on forward players rather than sitting deep. So I thought there was quite a bit of credit to him.
A lot of good football.
I can say that with a good heart because we beat them, but, you know, it was fair.
So. There's a lot of decent football without any end product. That was the
didn't actually threaten, but they were certainly playing an attacking game for 10 men.
As Pat was saying with the stats, George, we still sort of created the more dangerous chances.
Actually, I want to touch on that because we're going to talk about star performers and those who did play well. The chance for Budvarsson at the end was terrible. Yeah. He should have put at least tested the keeper.
There was one touch and smack it as far as I was concerned, and he rushed himself to be
he did, which he shouldn't be doing. He should be producing better football than that. Bradshaw, of course, that's 2-2 for him now. Malumbi as well. I've got to say, I watched him closely in that game against Luton, and he's got a lot to learn. I think that's quite key. He's got a lot to learn. He's still slightly naive in some situations, but he gets stuck in. He picked up another booking at the weekend, but he gets stuck in, doesn't he?
I, for one, Matt, are pleased that he's learning his trade at us. Mm. Yeah, I might be making a very big statement here, but there's a lad playing in that England game at the moment, Harry Kane, that learnt his trade at Millwall. As he would say himself, he became a man at Millwall. I think Malumbi's going to be the same sort of player. I think he's going to go on to be a very good player for Ireland. I think he's going to be a very good Premiership player eventually. And I think he's actually in the right place to learn his trade at this moment in time. I've been very impressed with that, very impressed with
him. Yeah, and I'm not being clever after the event, but I thought that would be the case. The more he played, he would make the position his own. He just needed to get in the team. And Barrett played a different formation. He played, 4-2-3-1? And, you know, it just suited the boy. It was maybe the first time he's played like that, and I just thought he will get better and better as the season goes on, I think.
And I must mention Jed Wallace. I thought he was inspired on the day. I mean, apart from what was probably the best Millwall penalty I've seen for a long while, like incredible. You said, Matt, he ran his socks off, and he's the Jed Wallace that we all love on Saturday. You know, sometimes his game, it's not... You see the standard that he set on Saturday, sometimes he's not quite up to that, you know, and I think Jed will say that himself. He sometimes there's a little bit of inconsistency, but when he's on his game like that, he is electric. There's no doubt about that. And Shane Ferguson gives us a nice balance. You know, it was a lovely cross in for Bradshaw. A lot of work to do to get the ball in the back of the net from there, but Shane Ferguson is one of the best crossers of the ball that we've got. So it was a nice balance. And as George said, it was a different formation. We took Matt Smith out of the picture completely. I'm sure he would have appeared if we was 1-0 down or something with 20 minutes to go. But we played some nice football, and a couple of people, and Ben Thompson hasn't had a mention yet, but it was like the Ben Thompson that came back to us at the end of last season, playing in that role just behind Bradshaw. And when he's on his game, he is a terrific little player.
There was a great tweet from a Leeds fan. There's no swearing in it, so don't worry. Someone called Weller's Shot, Leeds fan. And he tweeted, "It's ridiculous to even play this fixture. I'll be happy to give Millwall 3 points at the start of the season and never go to that cursed hellhole again. Thank you."
Thanks very much, Mark.
Very nice.
Well, I tell you what, there is no better way to finish the first section of this Millwall fan show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys, as always, from No Lou Talking, Pat, Ted and George. Pat, Ted and George. I love doing that. Kind of just works perfectly, doesn't it? Just a quick update on the international scene. England still drawing with the Czech Republic in Prague, of course, starting to press a little bit more now after what has been a relatively indifferent performance from Gareth Southgate's men. Marcus Rashford has replaced Jadon Sancho and Ross Barkley has replaced Mason Mount. So we will continue to give you updates. About 15 minutes left in that clash. Come on, England, get that result to qualify for Euro 2020. Chaps, we're going to get Les Brawley on the phone, but before we do that, let's just quickly talk about this managerial vacancy that there now is. Adam Barrett has won from one, of course.
I've got an exclusive, Matt.
Go on.
I haven't applied.
So, no, gutted. What a shame. I tell you what, you take them to new heights, Ted. Absolutely. But in terms of the candidates, Gary Rowett seems to be the overwhelming favourite. There's been a bit of chat today. I noticed Ian Holloway, obviously ex-Millwall manager, has been mentioning a certain Roy Keane. He's been mentioning ex-favourites as well, the likes of Teddy Sheringham as well in the running. If I read out some of the other names that are there, we've got Gareth Ainsworth, Adam Barrett, of course, caretaker at the moment. Keane, as I mentioned, Tim Cahill, Chris Hughton, Kenny Jackett, Nigel Adkins, Phil Parkinson and Stephen Reid as those front runners.
Well, I personally, Matt, would like to stick with... I wouldn't like the backroom staff that we got in there, Adam and his men. I wouldn't like to see any of them disappear. In other words, I wouldn't want someone like Roy Keane to come in, a bigger entourage with him, and clear the lot out. There's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes that Neil's done over the last 4 years that he's been there, putting all that in place. And I think we have a very good backroom staff. My personal opinion is I would like to see someone come in, if they come in, but keep what is there. You know, whether Adam Barrett would like to be an assistant, I don't know, because he's actually come out and said that he thinks he's ready to be a manager. And having been a caretaker manager, even though it's just one game, he may well have the taste for it. And if they bring somebody else in and say, well, you can be his assistant, he might not like that. I don't know. But I would hate to see all of it fall apart that Neil's put in place, because I think we need continuity as a club, you know. And it's the players are the most important people here as well. You don't want to bring someone in that's going to come in, that's not challenging them, but you know what I mean, a completely different face that's going to rip everything apart, because I think they're getting somewhere. And I think it needs perhaps Gary Rowett, with all the rest of them in there, like a head of a manager that's been there and done it, and I think we could go some places.
So let me ask you this, Pat, in terms of what Ted's saying there with regards to being part of the fabric of Millwall, we're seeing this now, of course, with Frank Lampard being at Chelsea and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being at Manchester United, the latter of those not really working out too well as things stand. How important is it for you as a Millwall fan that the appointment at least has to have some kind of connection to the club?
Well, social media, so many names being bandied about and a lot of ex-players. I'm not really keen on that. I'm also very weary of who we are actually going to bring in. I'm a Rowlett person as well. I think he'll suit the club. I think he's friends with Harris. I think they've been talking, as was spoken about last Saturday. I think Berylson, the chairman, is probably taking advice off Harris as well at the moment about who would be suitable.
Do you think so?
I do, because Berylson has had a couple of really duff managers in Holloway and Lomas, and I think he's going to be weary about who comes in. It's going to have to be a Millwall-type person.
I think it has to be what the biggest important thing to me, Matt, is someone that understands. Our club's unique. I'm sorry to say to everybody else, it is unique. It's different. Our fans are more demanding than.
So I was going to say,
fans.
In what way then? In what way is it unique? Because some fans will go, "Oh, jog on, mate." Like every club's unique. We love ourselves.
I genuinely think that you've got to be a certain character to play for Millwall, to be a good player for Millwall, which means you have to be a certain character to be a good manager at Millwall. And it may be sort of oversaid in what I'm saying, if you know what I mean, but I genuinely believe you do need to have someone having an understanding of what you're coming into. The manager we've had that failed, like Ollie, thought he could come bring his way into it and ignore the Millwall way, if I can put it there, and it finished up not working. So I just think that when you look at when Neil came in, he had no managerial experience at all, but came in and he's been a good manager for us. So I'm not frightened of Adam Barrett getting a job, because he hasn't managed anywhere. So there won't be some expectations on him because he hasn't managed anywhere. But he knows Millwall and these players inside out because he's been there with them. And I was saying to Pat and George coming up here, I'm old enough to remember the Liverpool boot room where they seemed to, when one manager went out, the guy that was his assistant became the next manager. And I think in some ways that gives you the continuity I'm talking about, and it would be, I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Barrett gets it. Let's put it that way.
My only concern with that is the transfer market. They've got no history of wheeling and dealing, buying players. Come January, what's it going to be like? We've got rid of a really good manager. I know things weren't working towards the end, but we got rid of one of our... Well, we didn't get rid. He's walked for whatever reason. Our best ever manager. We've got to replace him with something so much better. We're just taking a backward step if we don't.
But there's a recruitment team now, Pat. And,
yeah, so they would do the job, yeah. Pat, wouldn't they? They do the job for the manager, basically. And then the manager might have the final say. He would go and look. But, I mean, you're describing Neil to a T there when he started off. He wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I just feel that,
Well, as I understand it, Neil used to get...
quality manager.
They used to say, we need a player that's a centre forward or something like that. The recruitment team would come and say, this guy's available, that guy's available. Neil would obviously have a couple of players in his mind as well. And then, when they identified the player, then Neil would try and persuade them to come to Millwall.
But it's all about that wheeling and dealing, though, isn't it? It's not finding the player. It's working out the contracts.
Well, I would
and
imagine,
I think Neil was brilliant at that. Well, I mean, look at Morrison.
I would imagine Mr. Cavanagh has a say in that.
Well,
I mean, look at Lee Morrison when he came. Leeds paid his wages for a year. I mean, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, indeed he was. And someone who might well have an opinion on this is Les Brierley. Sir Les Brierley, as Patricia Maslin referred to him earlier. He, of course, was the captain of the only Millwall side that got to the top flight in the late 1980s and a co-commentator, as things stand, on Millwall's I Follow and, of course, a club host as well. Les, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Good evening, everybody.
Hello, Les.
Before we move on, Les, I've got to say, I've got a couple of very quick questions for you, because when I heard you were on the show today, I just wanted to clarify a few things that are in my faint memory from childhood. One of them was from 1988 and a goal. And listen, I'm going to be fair and say you didn't score a lot of goals, but you did score one absolute cracker in 1988, September 1988, against Charlton at Selhurst Park. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do, yeah. And it's on YouTube. That's the one that... I mean, as you say, I didn't score many goals, but the ones I did score were kind of like rocket launchers, if you like. And I scored one at Arsenal, which was disallowed as well, which was, I think, better than the Palace one. But, yeah, the Palace one was... a cracker for me.
I think that was the one you said you over it the pass when it Les, that one.
I got over the halfway line, tapped it, and unbeknown to me, Frank McClintock from the side was screaming, "Pass it, pass it!" And I just smashed it because there was nothing else on, and it just flew in the top corner. And after the game, I came in, and all the lads said to me, "Oh, what goal? What goal?" Frank was telling you to pass it, Les. So, yeah.
So, I mean, we know that was a wonderful era in the club's history, Les. The guys that were there with you, Jimmy Carter, of course, is on our various station a lot, especially on Saturdays. He commentates on the games as they're coming in. Just quickly, Czech Republic have scored in the last 5 minutes of that game against England. As things stand, it is Czech Republic 2, England 1. So England will not be qualifying for Euro 2020 just yet. But Les, I was gonna get on to the fact that he always talks about how it is such a real close-knit group from that time. Do you still get together with the guys from that era?
Yeah, we do. Maybe not as often as we should, but we still meet up, and there's always a good number turnout. There's always over 20 and a few staff as well. So, yeah, we, as I say, every sort of like once every 2-3 years we get together, and it really is a close-knit kind of team, really.
Les, it's George. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
How good was that Saturday over Leeds?
Yeah, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And I think it just goes to show what it meant to the players. And that performance was for Neil Harris for me.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's absolutely outstanding performance. And that's what they can do. But what they've got to realise is they've got to do it week in, week out. Because you're in a league that, mate, I'm telling you, if you don't turn up week in, week out, you'll be dropping points, and rightly so, the fans will get angry. You know, you've got to turn up and play week in, week out. There's no two ways about it in any league, but more so this league, because I think this is harder than the Premiership, if I'm honest.
Well, as you say, Les, it's about consistency. We all know that at any level at football, but yeah, you're right, this Championship, because you've got the sides that have come down with sort of Premiership people with them, even they struggled to find consistency at the time. I'm thinking of Fulham at the moment. I mean, they was outstanding when they beat us. But for us to actually achieve anything in this division, week in and week out, we've got to turn up like we did against Leeds, haven't we?
Yeah, and that's how it's got to be. You've got to give that performance every game. You've got to run your heart out, give everything for the team, for the manager, regardless of who it is. You've got to perform, and there's no two ways about it. Otherwise, you're going to be out, and you're not going to have a contract. You'll be losing a job. You know, and the way it is these days with people with families, you know, it's a big shock for players if they don't perform, and you might not get another game for another 3 or 4 months.
Was you surprised about Neil going when he did?
Totally shocked. Absolutely shocked. I was in Tenerife at the time, and I read a headline, and the headline said to me, he's gone. I just could not believe that he'd gone. And you know, because I spoke to him the week before, I had a chat in reception, now things, yeah, great, no problems, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, terrific. And then a week and a half later, gone.
So he didn't seem like he was down in the dumps or anything like that?
No, didn't give me any inkling that anything was wrong. He was in reception, bouncy, buoyant, you know, he's just Neil Harrison.
Yeah.
Totally shocked.
It was mentioned after the Blackburn game that he sat in the dugout for a good 20 minutes after the game alone, which was pretty unusual. So, you know, it just makes you wonder whether it had come from that point that he's starting to think that perhaps he should move on.
I think the pressure was getting to him, to be fair. And I think from what I've heard, and I don't want to say too much on that because it's only what I've heard, and I don't want to accuse anybody, but evidently after the Luton game, it wasn't a great performance. The fans got on his back, and somebody said something out of the crowd, and it really struck home to him. So, you know, that's all I've heard, really.
Moving on from that, who do you rate in the present squad?
Who do I rate in the present squad?
Who's going to do really well for us this season?
I think Tom Bradshaw will do well. I think Matt Smith, he's got his uses. John Daddy Budvarsson, I think, has been a good signing for us as well. I think Neil signed some real good signings this year, and I think we're well equipped in the Championship. I think we'll do okay. We might struggle a little bit, but then again, we struggled the year before, and if it hadn't have been for Neil Harris changing the system so many times, nicking points away from home, where they probably shouldn't have done, but got points because of the way Neil set the team up and the way they played. I think there's been some them three, you know, I mean, Tom we didn't see last year because of his injury, but the you know, Matt Smith and John Daddy Budvarsson, I think, look well equipped for the Championship, and I think they're capable of scoring goals. Jed Wallace, I like the look of Jed. Malumbi, another new lad that Neil's brought in, I think has done well. I think there's some pretty good signings by Neil Harris.
What about the managerial position there then, Liz? What sort of person, it's a bit unfair to say who do you think should get it, what sort of manager do we need to take us on further?
I think we need an experienced manager, to be honest. Neil's done a fabulous job, without a shadow of a doubt. He's done a fabulous job. He's got us out of the League One situation, got us into the Championship. We've had a great cup run for 2 seasons. We've had a great first year in it the other year, where we finished 7th or 8th and was challenging for a playoff place. So I think he's done an outstanding job. But I think the manager needs to be an experienced manager. Not necessarily a Premier League manager, because you don't always get what you pay for in that respect. You pay an awful lot of money, and they don't do a very good job. So somebody that's travelled around a bit, you look at Crystal Palace and you look at Hodgson, somebody in that mould kind of thing, or Pulis, he rings a bell because he's not the most attractive form of football, but he gets results. So somebody who can keep teams up, somebody like them to think, you know, but there ain't that many of them about, is there?
No, there absolutely isn't. Tony Pulis, to be fair, I don't know whether it would be a popular opinion, but I actually think that he would be a decent option, certainly one worth talking to. Les, we're going to quickly move on to your career post-play. And, of course, you are a co-host, co-commentator on iFollow. I guess you must enjoy that, especially when you have days like last Saturday.
yeah, fantastic days. I enjoyed, you know, Carl Bates from the BBC. He's an outstanding commentator. His knowledge of football is absolutely spot on, and he gets every situation correct. He really is. And I enjoy it. I love it. He lets me come in. He lets me say what I want. And he's a pleasure to work with. He's outstanding, you know, and he gives me an honest opinion. And when I say, how did we do last week away at, you know, just say the Luton game, he said, oh, it was dreadful first half, or second half played much better. And he's spot on with his opinions. And I really enjoy it. And the hosting job, you know, sometimes you get in the lounge and you'll have to host a little bit, or we take a tour, take people to exec boxes, and people are very, very nice when they come in. Lovely people, you know, and we say to them, if there's a complaint, let us know now, and we'll put it right, we'll deal with it. But rarely do we get complaints. We do get the odd one here and there, but, you know, I like to think that we do a reasonable job for the club, and everybody who comes in on a match day absolutely loves it.
Les, top stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, mate.
You do a great job, mate. Well,
cheers,
done.
Les.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers, Les.
That was Les Brierley. Of course it was Les Brierley, captain of that only Millwall side that got to the top flight and scorer of a great goal at Selhurst Park that I'd like to remind him.
It wasn't a pass.
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from Nolu talking. As always, Ted, George and Pat. It's all over in Prague. England have lost to the Czech Republic. They went 1-0 up. Harry Kane with a penalty. Jakub Brabec equalised for Czech Republic. And then in the last 5 minutes or so of the game, Zdeněk Ondrášek, his first goal for the Czech Republic. And this came as a result of England trying to play out from the back. Listen, it might be an archaic view. I might be too much of a traditionalist when it comes to football, but sometimes you just got to put your boot through it. And England tried to play out from the back. A pass went back to Jordan Pickford, put him under pressure. He tried to play out to Danny Rose. They lost possession. A ball was cut back to Ondrášek, who finished completely on his own about 12 yards out. England have lost in the Czech Republic. They are yet to qualify for Euro 2020. We'd like to think it will only be a matter of time before that happens. But in a quite remarkable stat that's come out after the game, that is England's first defeat in a qualifier in 10 years. Staggering.
Yeah, no, I knew it was a long record, yeah.
If in doubt, get it out.
Tell you what, that's what you've learned first thing on a Sunday morning with those freezing balls whacking against your inner thigh.
How many people have been caught at the back this season?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? The idea is that law of averages is that you end up playing enough out from the back and it outweighs when you get caught in possession. But as far as I'm concerned, it just piles way too much pressure on you. Anyway, we are going to move on, because we now have the fan in the dugout on the line. It's Howard Blythe. He is our second Millwall fan on the show from the USA. And this time, actually, we did a bit of a Wayne's World reference in the Chelsea Fan Show. We've got another one here because he's from Delaware. Yeah, let's go to Delaware. Welcome, Howard. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. How's yourself?
Very good, thank you. So you're in Delaware. You live on the beach, I believe.
Yes, we do. We're on the northeast coast. We sit between Baltimore, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington, and we're about two and a half hours from each, 3 hours from New York, and 2.5 hours from the rest. We are the first state in America, and we're the second smallest state in America.
Wow, I mean that sounds delightful, Howard. I have to say, but
yeah,
judging by the accent, I'm guessing you probably lived here first, and that's how you came to be a Millwall fan.
Well, actually, people say to me, "Where am I from?" And I say, "I'm not from here." But yes, I was a fan. 5 generations of my family are Millwall fans, supporters. I actually come from Rotherhithe in Bermondsey originally.
The state of Bermondsey, and, Howard.
Yes, and, you know, I've always been a Millwall fan. I bless my father, who's still alive at 91 years old, for taking me to Millwall rather than Charlton, so I was very blessed.
Well, we'd all agree with that, Howard.
Yes, yes.
So you're able to keep tabs on the boys while you're out there?
Sure. Well, my son, he watches iFollow, and we get the odd game here. It's mostly Premiership. We don't get Sky Sports here because contractual differences and whatever else, but I do keep a tab on Millwall all the time. I mean, every day I'm online looking at all the you know, reports about players and the team and fans, you know, questions and answers. So, yes, I'm very well up with everything, and I follow every day, pretty much.
Hello, Howard. It's Pat here. Who do you think's making the biggest impact at the moment with the team?
Do you know what? It's like the team's in and out at the moment, in my view. I mean, Thompson's done great. I think the problem with the, not so much the team, it's the tactics that was adopted. I mean, I got to say, I was never one of the Harris out brigade. I like Neil Harris. I think he's done a great job, and I think he left admirably, and he walked, and it was best for club and the supporters. But I think it's the style of play that we've been playing, like one away, one up away from home. I'm sure you guys would agree that you're never going to win many games away from home playing one up.
I think the
system that they adopted at home in the last game, which was very interesting, 3-5-2, I like that combination where the two wing-backs sort of integrate with the midfield players, and I think that's a good sign. But to go away from home with the support we have, and I've got to say this, I find that the supporters have been very loyal to the club, and I'd like to see a bit more, you know, attacking football personally. And I think with the new manager, whoever that may be, comes in, then we may change direction. Who knows?
I think you should put your name down for it, Howard.
Well, I'm probably too old, Ted. I mean, you know, I'm retired, but I just take the softly approach and sit on the settee now. So,
was you surprised like us with Neil going the way he did?
No, actually, I wasn't surprised. Oh. I think it was very admirable the way he left. I think, you know, everybody acknowledged what Neil Harris did as player and manager. And I think, you know, he walked. And I think it will turn out to be the best thing for the club in the long run.
Who's your favourite to take over?
Well, actually, I've looked at the list and I like Kenny Jackett. I'm not sure that he'll come back, but I like Kenny Jackett when he was with Millwall before. Gary Rowett has got championship experience. I'm not a fan of Roy Keane. We don't.
Who
need
is?
No bully
boys. Nobody
is.
We don't need no bully boys down there. And,
got enough of our
I
own.
Think Gareth Ainsworth has been mentioned today. Again, I don't think that's a good choice. I mean, if I really had to put my hand on my heart, it will probably be Rowett. Houghton, it would be a good choice, but Millwall possibly would never break their pay structure to get a manager in his quality, and they couldn't afford him. And I think that's, you know, that would be a good move, but he wants money to buy players, and we just haven't got that kind of money. So Gary Rowett would probably be, at the end of the day, my choice, pretty much.
Howard, it's been great talking to you. You said a fifth-generation Millwall fan, right?
Yes, my grandfather, my father, who's still alive at 91. And I've got to say this, interrupting the conversation, Pat, I think you met my son, Ian Blythe. My dad lives in Bexley Heath.
Oh, OK.
So,
tell everyone.
I think he came round. I think my son came round your house to get the shirt off you.
I deny everything.
She's blushing here, Howard.
Yeah, and he mentioned you in very high esteem, by the way.
Oh, well, that's so, okay, yeah, then, I'll admit it.
She told him to keep that a secret, Howard.
Yes. Getting back to the original question, my grandfather, my father, myself, my son and my grandson, all Millwall staunch supporters, and I have nieces and nephews are also staunch Millwall, and that will never change.
That's it.
And I must say, to end, I'm glad that all the stuff's sorted out with the club, with the regeneration of the area. I think it is needed, totally. But the club needs to remain where it is. We don't want to be moving from there. And I'm hopeful, I don't know how this would work, but I'm hopeful down the line that maybe Husky might put a few bob into the club and get them corners filled in, Ted.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
What do you think about that?
Yeah,
I think the old ground had the atmosphere. It would never, the so-called new den now, which is just a den, you know, hasn't got that atmosphere. It has it for big games, but, you know, they've got to fill them corners in. And what I would do, the away end, I would have that all Millwall fans and put the away fans in the corner. So you can fill them chairs,
well,
them seats.
I think you're right. I'd fill the corners in, but I wouldn't have the away fans anywhere. I wouldn't let them in at all.
Well, no, but I think you're. Well, I agree, but I think that you're restricted. You've got to have, you know.
We'll have a token one or two then. We're just
It certainly helps to build the atmosphere as well. Howard, we've loved having you on. Do call in again.
I'm glad to be on, and you guys do a sterling job. I always listen to you. And may we continue up the ladder. We've had one win against Leeds. I don't like the international breaks. No. I think it disrupts teams one way or the other. But onwards and upwards. Come on, you Lions.
Howard, I said to him on the way out, the Leeds fans on the way out, we see him in the playoff semi-final. That would be nice, mate, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, that really would. Thanks to you guys for having me on, and all the best in the future.
Yeah. Cheers,
all
Howard.
The best, Howard. Cheers.
Lovely stuff.
Cheers.
Howard Blythe, straight from Delaware. It's a bit like your mum telling you you've got to eat your crust when you're younger. Fill in the corners. Just fill in the corners, Millwall. Get it done. This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. We are coming to the end of the show. We've got about 6 minutes to go.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from Nolu talking. We've got about 8 minutes or so left, so we're going to cram everything that we possibly can into this final 8 minutes. First, a little bit of admin. Millwall Lionesses. I played against them once, you know, Millwall Lionesses. Many moons ago. Yeah.
Is that when you was Maria? Maria Beadle. Oh, dear. I knew there was something about you, Matt. I couldn't work out.
I don't do myself any favours on this show, do I? No, it was part of it was an article we did. It was when I was working for a publication at the time.
Right,
we got
right.
a team together to play against Millwall Lionesses. It was to basically showcase how good
I'm going to shock you now, Matt, because I played against Millwall Lionesses in a five-a-side as well.
Have you really?
I have, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Another
that was quite
thing we
embarrassing.
Have in common, Ted. There you go.
On one of our greatest Lionesses, he ruined her career.
Oh,
he tackled her so hard she never played again.
Oh, that's all rumours, that is.
We
changed shirts afterwards anyway, so it couldn't be that bad.
Right, moving on. Millwall Lionesses, they defeated Woodson Park by a 6-1 margin last Sunday at home to maintain their unbeaten start to the season. This Sunday at 1:30 p.m, they face Cambridge City Ladies at Rotherhithe in a League Cup tie. An entrance for all spectators is free for the whole of the 2019-20 season. Get along, roar the Lionesses to further progress in the Cup. Lovely stuff. A little bit more admin before we move on to the legend / hero of the week. Lovely tweet from Damien Egan, who is the mayor of Lewisham today. Tonight, we formally terminated the old Millwall land sale agreement. I'm delighted we've agreed a way forward. Thank you, Millwall and Renewal, for working so hard this past year. Millwall has a long history in Lewisham. This helps the club grow and brings more social homes. We are going to get into depth on this next week, but guys, just a quick reflection on that.
This is great news, and it's been going on for so long. Lots of people deserve lots of praise for this, too many to mention in the time we've got. But the new mayor coming in has done a very good job also in sort of being a broker between both parties.
Common sense has prevailed at last. It's taken many years, and this is where they should have been when they was first talking about it, Matt. It's quite simple. Millwall got a lease on the land. Renewal can have the bit around the outside. Let us develop what we've got. We've already got.
Let's hope Berylson picks it up and runs with it and really gets those plans in and gets it going now. Yeah. We're not moving. We're staying.
Good stuff. We're not going anywhere. Onwards and upwards for Millwall FC. Right. Millwall legend / hero coming up to finish the show now. This has been nominated by Mary Moroney from Dulwich. We talked about managers, potential managers coming in. I reckon this guy could be there or thereabouts in the running. Mr. Tim Cahill, guys. Pat.
Oh, you know how strict I am with these heroes and legends. I love Tim Cahill. Great player to watch.
You love everyone, Pat.
Tell them that.
Especially that bloke's son.
Because we haven't got much time, I'll go straight to it. I think hero, not legend, but he's certainly on the cusp. I don't know what others think.
Wow. Not a legend, Tim Cahill, no? Crikey.
Well, I tend to be in Pat's camp. I think there's only four or five, as I've often said on here. But I think actually, when you get to Tim Cahill, you just go over that, and I think the man borders, as far as supporters are concerned, on being a legend. Although he's young compared to lots of the others that I would compare to be legends, I think Cahill could well be classed as a legend, actually.
Well, if he comes back and the manager and takes us in the Premier League, he'd definitely be a legend. But I think when you talk about legends, there's moments that make people legends, I think. And Tim Cahill scoring the goal in a FA Cup semi-final, taking us to the FA Cup final, is probably one of my highest points ever as a Millwall fan, which definitely takes him very close to a legendary status for me. So I think I'd have to say legend with Tim Cahill because of that moment. I mean, when you see grown men blubbing like little girls, it must be a moment that means something to you. So,
we're not talking about Pat here.
No. It was a medical moment.
Absolutely. Apart from us getting into the old First Division, one of the most iconic moments. I'm thinking about my dad because Howard said his dad's 91. Well, my dad's 91. And I can remember him as a saying to me, take me down then and saying, listen, son, this is going to be a painful experience for you. We don't win anything. We don't go anywhere. We certainly won't ever get to an FA Cup final. But it's our club.
That was it.
And that moment, reaching an FA Cup final.
And Europe,
yeah. I said, bless your dad, you was wrong. but for that moment, I'm going to make him an hero. Legend, sorry.
When Cahill retired this year, he was asked by Sky what was his most memorable moment in his career. And he actually said, the day I signed for Millwall. I mean, that melts your heart, doesn't it?
It's brilliant. And this is a guy with heaps, to use an Australian term there, heaps of ambition. He came over, right, because he wanted to be a professional footballer. He gave up whatever life he had in Australia, came to England to make it, and got the contract with Millwall.
I remember his first game when he was a 17-year-old. I did think, oh, this guy. I've just thought of another moment that goes with the FA Cup. He did score twice against West Ham in the Valentine's Day massacre, which... You know, I'm thinking more and more legend here, without a doubt. He missed the chance for a hat-trick there, if you remember rightly. He missed the penalty.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Bless him. He was some player, without any shadow of a doubt. And them two moments make him a legend in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Involved in that team that went up from the second division in 2001. Like you said, the FA Cup final, which was his last hurrah before he then returned a couple of years ago. Last year it was, wasn't it?
When you look at his career, though, Matt, not only with Millwall, Everton, he was a star with Everton. Everton fans love him. For Australia, who had never really sort of known as footballer, but he scored a cracking goal in one of the World Cups. You remember that volley?
That left foot volley. I think it was Holland, wasn't it?
He's revered wherever you go, like whoever he played for. They loved him, absolutely loved him. And I'm just, you know, for him to start his career with us, it's just fantastic. And I always followed him and, you know, always wanted him to do well. But terrific player, legend in my eyes.
So Ted, legend. George, legend.
Yeah. Pat just loves him.
Hero.
Hero. Well, I'm definitely naming him as a legend, 100% legend. Millwall legend for me, Tim Cahill. Actually, one of the first Millwall players that I actually remember watching. And of course, we now see him on BBC pretty much every week as well, giving his opinion on football as we go.
Thanks, Mary, for nominating him.
Thank you, Mary Moroney. Of course. Mary. Will he be Millwall manager? Who knows? Oh. Right. This has been the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Massive, massive, massive game, I'm going to say. Next week on Saturday, we'll be here before that Brentford clash. They are an up and down side at the moment. Millwall, I'm saying, after scoring two goals in the Championship for the first time this season, are a team on the up.
Let's hope so, mate. Brentford's a little bit of a bogey team to us. I mean, I can't remember us winning there.
I remember the grenade going on the pitch, but that's about all.
It sounds like I say that about every away game, I think, but I can't with Brentford. But I think you're right, mate. I think we're on the up.
And we'll keep your secret, mate. We won't tell nobody.
Yeah, it's going to be Maria for the rest of the weekend, by the way.
On that, mate, this has been the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.